Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome into Sabres Live. We are getting so close to the start of the regular season. Marty, you can't get much closer than this. Put them through the paces. Suit them up. Drive them to the rink. Make sure they're ready as soon as they step inside the O2 doors in Prague.
I have nightmares from having to do so. Like, the Sabres are pretty lucky now because if they practice at Harbour Center, they just wheel over, right? They put the skate guard with the wheel and they go. But I have nightmares from having to practice somewhere else and having to dress at the KeyBank Center. But the goalies, how do you walk over? Like, you can't put your pads on and not your skates. And so you put on half your equipment. Then you go over there and then the coaches are like, hey, hurry up, goalies. We want to get started. But I have to put a roll of tape around each ankle like I was doing. So I was always like rushing. It was awful. So I do have nightmares. Now you can see here, James Reimer, he's not even getting dressed. He just decided, you know what? I'll put the full gear on when I get there. So that is stressful to me. Anxiety filling my body. Couple that with every crazy thing that's happened in the NHL in preseason right now. I'm like, let's get the regular season going. Let's get back to normal. Play two games in Prague. Come back home. Let's go. I cannot wait for Friday, but more importantly, I cannot wait for next Thursday when we have the home opener.
We are 2 days and 28 minutes away from pregame coverage of the season opener in Prague. And yes, we have two unique start times for our broadcast this weekend, a 12:30 pregame on Friday. Are we doing Sabres Live from noon to 12:30? Should we do that?
Aww. We're not. Because
why doesn't anybody want to work around here? Come on!
The control room have to do all their tests and all the lines. And because this is coming from Prague, like if it was at the arena or somewhere in the NHL, it'd be easier, but it's coming for Prague. They got to make sure that the visuals are good. They do their transmission. That's what I was looking for. The transmission
test. Oh, you'll be happy to know. And of course you'll be sad to know that I've forgotten it. But when hanging out with our good friend, Kevin Kennedy in Franklin at the music festival on the weekend, he delivered an idiom that was so mixed up and so wrong. And I immediately looked at him and said, oh, Marty would love this one.
I'm going to have to text him and see what it was.
It was something about a tent, and it was just like not in the right context. And I'm like, oh my, that was not it.
So anyway, did you know, Duffer, while you were there last Friday when we played the game against Red Bull, I got yelled at in our control room. When I walked in, I got yelled at, and our producer Jeff is nodding, saying like that actually happened.
Okay, the floors were wet and you had dirty sneakers.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, like this was the first time of the year. We haven't been in studio all that often, right? And this is actually coming in at about 11 o'clock.
Did you have Lancaster's Broadway Deli?
We did have Lancaster Broadway Deli. It was awesome. It was sandwiches. It was fantastic. Little coleslaw. You know, I love their coleslaw. It was awesome. So we did Sabres Live from 12 to 1. And then from 1 to 2:30, they were working on the transmission. And they actually were working on transmission even before Sabres Live at noon. So I walk into the control room, the building, because I was excited. Let's go. This is the first. So I walk in like I am like, you know, walking on the dance floor in Saturday Night Live. Like I'm like Studio 54, we come. I'm like, let's go, everybody. It's going to be a great year. I'm yelling. I'm like, Matt Gold is working with the people in Germany in their brand new building to try to get the transmission going well and communication and all of that. And I'm yelling and screaming, high-fiving everybody. He looks over and goes, Marty, we're working over here. Like, oops, sorry, Matt. Like, and he felt bad. He came later. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you're right. Like, you're doing important stuff. And I walk in completely unaware. Zero awareness, Duffer. Zero awareness of what was going on in that control room.
Well, Marty, we're at 12:04. Now is your chance to take over the show in any direction you want. Because if you don't, I have some rants lined up that are likely to take up the better part of this hour.
I don't know if I want to take over the show. I kind of am intrigued by your rant. But I feel like we may be at opposite end of that rant. Maybe we won't.
Makes for better broadcast
radio
experience.
All I'll say.
Well, I didn't want to say radio because, like, maybe it'll be good TV as well.
Maybe it'd be good TV if all of a sudden my computer starts shaking and the camera falls over and I.
Yeah, before we get 24 minutes past the hour and Spalding Lake Wi-Fi, can we actually get into a good dialogue here?
A good dialogue. Okay.
Okay. Here's my question, which you already know the answer to. What is the biggest misnomer you will hear now that we are in the month of October about the Sabres and their chances this season?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. They need to start off the season on a good note. And yes,
No, they don't. They could go 0-10 and it won't matter. And they could lose all the games in November and it won't matter. Do you know that in the last 13 years, 9 of the 13 seasons have not produced a poor start in any way, including the majority of the last 6 seasons? They were tied for 12th, tied for 2nd, tied for 14th, tied for 8th, tied for 4th. And last year, technically tied for 20th, but 2 points out of 14th after the first month of the season.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how you start, ask the Edmonton Oilers. It's how you finish. It is such a crock of crap. People in this business just spew this. They have no chance if they don't have a great start to the year. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's how you recover. It's how you come together. Don't put the onus on the first 2 games of the first month. Would it be nice? Of course it would be nice if they had a great start. But the separation does not happen. The culmination of a season does not happen in its first month. The clinching of playoff spots does not happen in the first month.
So that's
rant number one.
I get it. But there is a saying, and I'm going to get that saying right. You can't make the playoff in the first month, but you can miss the playoff in the first month.
But they didn't. That's my whole point.
Yes. And the stats.
It wasn't until the games 20-30 last year where they started to go off the rails. And then they got it back, but they never got it back to the same level.
Never got it back enough. And, you know, I feel like that's. You're accurate with your assessment of how we've seen teams. The Nashville Predators, like last year, they were barely a 500 team until they got to their streak. Their streak was in the second half. It got them to the playoffs. And it got them that feeling of, hey, we're just a Stamkos or Marsh or so away maybe from being a really, really good team. Mm-hmm. It was one streak, 16-0-2. Before that, they were a 500 hockey team. 500 hockey team doesn't get you anywhere.
Buffalo has been at worst in most of these years is a 500. People are thinking, they're only thinking about the Eichel Reinhardt draft years and the window where they were very, very, very poor. That is a microcosm, like a tiny, 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 tiny little speck of what has actually happened over the last 13 years. And it doesn't come down to the start.
There is a difference between the Buffalo Sabres and the Edmonton Oilers because the Oilers have had playoffs.
They didn't have to be.
Well, I get it, but psychologically, mentally, there is a difference because the Oilers have made the playoffs. The Oilers have had success.
Okay. But they also had success under that coach, and then they changed that coach.
Yeah.
They made a really bold move.
They made a bold move, and a lot of teams that
wasn't that bold based on
coach.
How Connor has known the guy forever, so it's really not a.
But for
Connor's
most
team.
Of the guys, it was a new coach. But yeah. I will say this: that's why we've seen that Dan Bylsma go into Pittsburgh, or Mike Sullivan go into Pittsburgh, or Craig Berube go into St. Louis and winning the cup, right? Because sometimes
how was
like,
St. Louis's start that year? Dead last.
They were last.
Won the cup.
They were last. And you know what? The Sabres were first after having a 10-game winning streak. And
after
the
month of October, they were 9-2-2, and they were tied for 2nd overall.
Yeah, I remember I put out a tweet that after that first month that I,
I think they were close to first place at Thanksgiving, weren't they?
I put out a tweet saying that I think Coach of the Year, Jack Adams, Phil Housley should be considered, and GM of the Year should be, Jason Botterill should be considered, considering how well the Sabres started that season. And, you know, by the time we got to March, I was like, oh, can I go back and erase? Can I put a 6 months like delay, like automatically erase on my all my tweets? But yeah, I get that. I feel though for the Sabres, for this group, a good start to season would be preferred. Is it going to be the end of the year? No. Is it like you're not making the playoffs if in the first, 10 games in October, if they're 4-6, Is it the end of the season? No. But thank if you. They're 2-8, I don't like their chances. That's just, you know, my view on it. And if they're 8-2, it's going to be fun and great. But yeah, you got to keep it going.
Exactly. So. That's the whole point. Yeah. So just, you know, just have some awareness in the totality of the situation. That's all I'm saying. Like the Bills had a tough one last week, right? Whatever. Move on. I'm just, and all these
I've
measures.
I'm good about moving on because I'm always like back in my player's mode. Like, okay, the game's over.
Is this next? All there is for, that can't be all of us.
No, there was one week missing. Okay. That last week, the last 2 weeks, the Dallas, Detroit, and Florida.
I was going to say, that's the shortest October in
wow. That's why I said 2-4-6 because my page was not like on my computer. I had to raise the page up a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
they do have 10 games in October.
Okay. So producer Jeff went to school for this and he posted something on X today. Yes. And I, of course, am an X of X. So would you like to read the disclaimer / question / desires in the form of responses for what Buffalo needs to do here?
Desires is adding an S on everything like I usually do because I'm from Latvia. Fill in the blank Wednesday. The Sabres will make the playoffs this season if blank. And we are getting, I'll tell you this, often at this time of year, we'll get sarcastic responses. And we got the old, like, if they win more games than they lose, like type of response. I'm like, you wasted 10 seconds of not just my life, of your own life for answering that in that way. I get it. Sometimes you got to be silly. One great answer I felt was a really good answer. It was an issue last season was first period goal differential. Somebody suggested if they play better first period this year, it gives them obviously a better chance. They were minus 30 in goal differential in first period last year. League rank, I'm not sure.
No, it was bottom five, though.
Yeah, it has to be bottom five. But give me one sec. 30.
Continue with your responses.
And they actually were worse than that, and they got better towards the end of the season. They clawed their way back to minus 30. So that was a reason. Somebody suggested
they were 30th last year. Okay, only Chicago and San Jose were worse.
So I took a shot and I got it right with Chicago and San Jose. Somebody mentioned excellent goaltending. Excellent goaltending is always required, but the Sabres did have excellent goaltending last season, right? It didn't amount to anything. When you look at the goals save above expectation per team, the Sabres were fourth in the NHL at 5-on-5 behind Winnipeg, Boston, and Florida. Like they did their job, the goalies last year, but it has to continue. Obviously that has to continue. Somebody answered the Sabres will make the playoffs this year if blank and blank was Boston and Tampa have a bad year. That's basically like we need teams from the top to regress, right? So that you can get in there.
We've been talking.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We've talked about that a lot in summer times past, you know,
Power play, Duffer. The power play is huge. And
well, I guess my non-X question to you would be amidst myriad of responses.
Yes.
Like, what is most important for you? Like, it's one thing for you to say, oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. This is a good point. But like, what resonates with you the most in all of this? And how do you put it into your words if you were, in fact, filling in this blank?
Hockey is a team sport. And I always figured your team win games, your team loses game. Even if a goalie's having a bad night and that's the only thing that went bad, it's the team that still lost, right? Or if you win a game and Tage has 5 goals, it's the team that still won. But I have said it this summer and I'll say it again. For me, there's 5 players that make or break the Sabres season. It's Tage Thompson, JJ Paterka, Alex Tuck, Dylan Cousins, Rasmus Dahlin, and the goaltending. And I'm going to say like one position.
What did you say again? Thompson, Paterka.
Thompson, Paterka, Tuck, Cousins, Dahlin, and goaltending. That's the 5 keys to the success.
Well, that's 6 if you're including goaltending.
I'm saying there's only one goalie in a game,
Let's do top 5. because nobody likes top six. Let's do top five. Is Lukanen in there, or are you taking one of those forwards or defense out?
I'm going to jump the goalies because I'm not going to like single out UPL or Levi.
Okay. So let's just focus on the five numbers, the 77, 72, 89, 24, 26.
Yes.
Right?
Perfect.
Okay. So there's your five, your fab five.
Yes, the core five.
How confident are you that all five of them will simultaneously have excellent, impactful seasons?
I think you need four out of the five to have excellent, impactful season for the season to go in the right way. But I am really confident, and I don't know if it's just it's October and it's still beautiful outside, and I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with joy right now and enthusiasm, but I would literally match up those five against a lot of other teams and say, I like the Sabres five better. I like the Sabres.
Well, they could use another defenseman if they were going to do
put
that.
Put power in there and maybe.
No, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, well, we're like, going 4-1.
Four and one. Power play, right?
But I'm maybe that's, like, yeah, yeah.
I'm putting those five against, you know, Toronto's top five. And I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, okay, you got Matthews and Inner and Marner, but my guys are right up there, right?
Because four of them could score 30 goals, and one of them, being the defenseman, could easily get 80 points.
Can get a point a game, absolutely. And that's where the enthusiasm and the positivity comes from me. Because I feel like 2 years ago, that five was really, really good. Paterka, it was just a rookie and didn't get to that where he is now, but I'm putting that five against anybody right now, and I'm saying if that five is having great season, impactful season, that's a no-brainer.
Well, there's still no other team in the NHL that has attained 12 points in the preseason. I don't care how you slice up the rosters or divide them by continent. The facts are Buffalo has 12. Nobody else has got 12. Calgary's pushing hard. Calgary's been a really cool story so far in the preseason. They have opportunity, and they have definitely opened the door for some of their young, recent top picks. And so far, so good in that regard. Then there's other teams like maybe – we'll get to Team of the Day Vegas, and there are a few teams like them that just haven't played a lot. So there's not a lot, per se, going on as far as, scoring leaders league-wide in the preseason. Have you done that exercise yet?
I don't even want to go there.
It's so fun. Okay, let me quiz you. Who are the top two point leaders with 7 points in five games and 7 points in four games, respectively, this preseason?
Okay.
Here's a hint. Both are in the first round of the 2023 draft.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This is why I'm excited about it.
Is Connor Bedard up there?
He's probably up there, but he's not that high up.
He probably hasn't played a ton, right? So these are guys that it's in their second training camp and they're being given.
No, in one case, well, it might be in both cases, but definitely in one, he's a super high profile non-North American. In fact, both are non-North Americans, but one played junior here, so that doesn't count. So.
Okay.
Matvei Michkov.
Oh, yes. I should have put
Matvei. And a little later on in the first round, Slovakian Sam Honzik for the Calgary Flames has 7 points in five games. So,
okay. By the way, I watched Michkov the other night. He was electric. He is going to be fun to watch. Although Philly,
and that's a fear.
Philly was not fun to watch as a whole.
Well, how can you say it's Philly? It's not Philly. It's whatever the semblance of their preseason roster.
That night,
roster is.
It was most of their roster.
All I know is most of the year they were in playoff spot last year, and they're adding Michkov. So I think they are absolutely in the way of the Sabres to try to get to a playoff spot.
Well,
put me on the side of fearful in that regard.
I will not be fearful of the Flyers. I think eventually with Michkov and others, I don't like the Flyers goaltending all that much. Even Fedotov, had a
Urson's been really good though.
Yeah, again, Hurst has been good, and he was great to start the year. Anyway, I mean, not to spend too much time on Philly. I'm just saying
Mitchkov
is exciting, and look, people were asking, who Celebrini going to be the rookie of the year? Is it going to be Lane Hudson, because the Montreal fans going crazy with Lane Hudson? I'm like, hey, the clear cut early preseason winner for me is Matvei Mitchkov. That would be my choice to start now for rookie of the year.
So Sabres practice today. They'll do so again tomorrow. The game is on Friday. That is game number one of the regular season. Again, 12:30 pregame coverage right here on MSG and obviously on WGR Sports Radio 550 as well. Yeah. With every passing day, we get more and more people on the waiver wire, or less and less over the course of the weekend, depending on where teams are at in their camp. Yesterday, the Sabres put a bundle, six-pack, if you will, of notable names on waivers for the purposes of getting them to Rochester. As that camp has opened for the Amherst, they'll have a preseason game on Sunday. Are you at all thinking that any of Sandstrom, Poolman, Rathbone, Dunn, Yopst, and Murray will not be part of the organization by, is it 1 or 2 p.m. today? I can't even remember now.
Usually it's noon, I believe, now.
No, it's not noon. It's
you're right. It used to be noon, but then they moved.
I think it's 2, but Jeff can clarify for us. 2 or 3,
but yes, it's later in the afternoon. It used to be noon. It used to be perfect for us because we'd get all these updates.
Pretty sure it's 2 o'clock.
Cleared waivers, but no, all of them will clear waivers. I assume that all of those guys expect as well to clear waivers and continue on to Rochester. I'd be very surprised, but I've been surprised about things before. But this is the time of year where teams are loading up the waiver wire because they're cutting lots of players, and they prefer their own players as opposed to others. Usually, that's what it is.
But there have been a lot of injuries.
Lots.
And when you know that someone is going to be out for a while, and then you start looking at what's in your stable, and then you look at someone else's stable, and you say, person's a little more experienced for what we need right now. We could rent them short term, put them back on waivers once our guy gets healthy. Like, this stuff happens. Ask Alex Barry-Boulay, among others.
But again,
and you even said it the other day, like Yachts and Dunn, especially had some nice moments here in camp. Now, the catch is, like, a guy like Josh Dunn, people might have wondered in the summertime, well, why would you sign him for 2 years? This is why. Because when you have to go through the waiver process, teams are likely to balk at, even if they like him in the moment for exactly the scenario that I described, they don't want to take on 2 years at this point in time, right? And Josh Dunn has a two-way for this year and then a one-way for next year. And honestly, like, it's fascinating to me when you look at how much leverage some guys that have spent a lot of time in the American Hockey League are able to, kind of exercise as far as what they can earn in the AHL, right? Yes. And then all those factors get considered in this whole process of waiver claims. So anyway, here's the thing. We always tend to really enjoy the company of those that we watch and follow on a regular basis. So there's always really don't want to see them go. Yet at the exact same time, especially in the case of more long-term Amherst, like Mason Yopst and Brett Murray, if somebody really wants them, I'm going to be super excited for their opportunity to potentially start a season in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, look, good luck to all of them.
Right.
This is never, it's even if you expect to be going to the AHL, it's never fun when you get the, hey, you've had a good camp, we're going to put you on waivers. If you're clear, we expect you to, report to the camp in Rochester starting tomorrow, whatever. It's never a fun conversation, but I would be very surprised if any of them got picked up. And there's not because they didn't perform well.
Right.
It's just because I don't know what's going to happen. The Sabres have 15 forwards, 9 defensemen, 3 goalies in Europe right now. Mm-hmm. When they return to North America, their roster is going to be probably 23 players. I would think they're not going to go to 22 just yet. I would think it's going to be 14, 7, and 2, maybe 13, 8, and 2. I would anticipate James Reimer to be put on waivers if he's going to go to Rochester. You're not going to keep three goalies. If you keep Luukkonen and Levi, you're going to put James Reimer on waivers. I think James Reimer clears waivers. I think he goes and he's Kale your Clegg, third guy in
potentially.
Buffalo.
Right?
Yeah.
Kale Clegg, potentially. Maybe even one of the other defensemen and Bryson and Gilbert, depending on how they decide.
Where it's going to get sticky. Right.
Possibilities. Sorry. I don't know. Is possibility the right possibilities. Word? Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think that's where, like, Rusek, for me, I think clears. If the Sabres decide to put Lukas Rusek on, number one, he didn't really get a lot of preseason because of the way that it was.
You know where
he's on a one-way deal. So you better, think that he's going to have an impact on your team. So I think
there's other teams
Gilbert
out there
the
that have
two.
Forward injuries that might look at Lukas Rusek. I really do.
Yeah, no, I think they would. But
if it comes to that. And who knows how the first two games are going to play out, right? Like, you don't know. Illness, injury, otherwise, performance, everything is up for consideration.
And maybe the Sabres decide, we have to play the waiver game because we don't want to lose Lukas Rusek. So we put Yuri Kulik on, send him down to Rochester. He doesn't have to clear waivers. He's not waiver eligible. So, and then in a week, 10 days from now, you say, okay, now we're going to put Rusek on waivers for the purpose to go to Rochester. Mm-hmm. And everybody's filled their roster at the end of training camp. And then they're like, okay, well, it's not the right time for us to pick up a guy. Like, there's that game that's being played as well.
Absolutely. And there'll probably be fun and games inside the arena on Saturday, which is day two of our kind of stretched out doubleheader.
Who's going to clear waivers? I don't think that's going to be accepted.
That is not going to be a game featured in the Global Series watch party at KeyBank Center. Now, that's Saturday, we're telling you to join us there. You watch the game on the new video board in the arena. Alumni appearances. I'm going to assume that those alumni appearances are not limited to Rob Ray and Marty Biron. We'll have giveaways, a chance to, really just sit back and enjoy. Like, it's a totally different experience to come into the arena and watch the live game unfold in front of you on the ice. Like, in this case, you just kick back and look up and watch the video board and obviously soak in. Look, it's an early start. We're going to be on the air at 9:30. The game starts at 10, so visit sabres.com/watchparty to learn more. Celebrini, Panarin, Laine, Tkachuk, Stützle, on and on and on it goes. What do these names have in common? We'll tackle that topic next on Sabres Live.